Scripture reading is Romans 5, 3 and 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Once again, welcome to everyone. It's good to see everybody here today on this Holy Sabbath day, knowing that we can come here in freedom. I know that we had the Holy Spirit last week in Sabbath school lesson, but thought we still needed to hear more about it today, because Jesus said that he had sent the Comforter, take his place. But first, I want to look at the Lamb of God and see how the Lamb came to be our Savior and our Redeemer. Let us have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the shield of your salvation, for the Lord Jesus Christ as our Deliverer, for the Holy Spirit as our Comforter, for the time that we will be with the Lamb of God, the sanctifier of our lives. Oh, for the surety of eternal life, the surety of being with our Jesus one day soon, that we may have that perfect communion with him for eternity. It's my prayer this morning for each and every one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, if you turn to chapter 1 of Matthew, all familiar to us, we know it and everything. But we know also that many Christian churches today probably only look at this chapter during the holiday season, Christmas time. But we know that we need to be continually looking at his birth in his second coming constantly. So I pray that we are doing that. We know from reading before many, many times that Joseph was being betrothed to a young Jewish maiden named Mary. It was brought to it so that they, at that time, they were legally married but not living together. And during that time, word came to Joseph that Mary was with child. Joseph knew that he was not the father, but somebody was. He believed that Mary had been unfaithful to him, so he decided to divorce her. But yet, because he loved Mary, he wanted that divorce to be quiet, because the penalty for committing such a thing, that Mary's crime was death by stoning. But we know that even before he could put that plan into action, that God sent an angel to talk to him, told him the things were not as he thought they were. He told him, this Jewish husband, that Mary was carrying a child that was miraculously fathered by the Holy Spirit of God. He learned that that child would be a special child and on a special mission. And Joseph's reaction was to take Mary into his home and wait with her until the baby was born. Truly, neither one of them realized that the boy growing in Mary's body was the Lamb of God that was coming to save each one of us, to die for the sins of all humanity. Verse 25 there in chapter 1 tells us that Mary eventually delivered the child. And when she did, the Lamb of God was born. Subsequently, the Bible tells us about John the Baptist when he saw Jesus. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," John 1:29. We can look at three characteristics of the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God was a special lamb. His conception was special. He had no human father. His father was one of the three members of the whole of the Godhead, God himself. what makes a conception special? Was it Mary was a virgin? We all know the traditional method that children are born and how they are conceived into the world. But this conception was different. His mother was a virgin. It tells that in Isaiah 7:14, Matthew 1:23, and Luke 1:34 and 35. His conduct was special. From the day Jesus came into the world and the day that he returned to heaven, he was a person of a very special characteristics. Miracles. And he performed many of them. He would feed multitudes, open blind eyes, heal the sick, and even raise the dead. Everything that he did was marked with special. However, these activities were not merely proof of that he indeed was who he claimed to be. Luke 4:18 and Isaiah 61:1. The messages that he gave when he opened his mouth, people marveled at the things he had told them. When he was only 12 years old, we know that he attended the doctors of the law in the synagogue, Luke 2:47. When he began his ministry, he continued to amaze the crowds that had heard him speak, John 7:46. His claim was special. Jesus was never shy about telling people who he was. And we should not be either. We'd be ashamed of telling who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for each and every one of us. In fact, his claims that he made prompted the Jews to put him to death. His own people wanted him to die. But what claim did Jesus have that made the people so offensive? We can see that answer in twofold. Number one, he claimed to be the Son of God, John 10:36. He was claimed to be the Son of God in heaven. People supposed him to be the Lamb that would be the Son of Joseph, Mark 6:33. However, Jesus claimed a special relationship with the Father in heaven. And we can have that relationship ourselves. He claimed to be God. John 14:9. If we had turned to there. John 14:9. Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long with thee, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father, and now sayest thou then, show us the Father." We know that I and the Father are one. And by making this claim, he was telling everyone that he was eternal. And we know that Jesus Christ is eternal, just as the Father is. They have been there forever, with no beginning or no ending. To us, that seems not possible. But with God, nothing is possible. So we see that there. And that he was their God. And that he needed to bow before him. But they were so, looked at so, the mission that they thought Jesus had come to do, to be king, set up his kingdom now and then, towards the Romans and put them out, that he would establish his kingdom there at that time. We know that that did not happen. And he acknowledged to be one of the three persons of the Godhead. The Lamb of God was a sacrificial lamb. The Lord came to this earth to be sacrificed as the sacrificial lamb. John 18:37. He came to die for the sins of humanity. To have that mission that was his in this world was to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. He was also a spotless lamb. before any lamb could be offered as a sacrifice, it had to be examined and be found without spot, to be spotless. Numbers 2, 8, and 9. An animal that was impure or deformed could not be sacrificed or used. And for Jesus to be the lamb sacrificed, had to be a human without spot or blemish. And we know that Jesus Christ was the only human that has ever lived without spot or blemish. He was a submissive lamb. He wasn't forced to take his role as that special lamb. But he did it perfectly. And so we see that he will only submit to all that he endured by himself. He willingly did it. To submit to dying on the cross for each and every one of us. He died out of the love for humanity, for you and I. Jesus Christ died. He submitted to the Father's will and spirit to pay the price for our sins. He was a submissive lamb. He was a sacrificed lamb. All the rest meant nothing until the sacrifice was fulfilled. And it was fulfilled by Jesus on Calvary's cross that day so long ago. It wasn't enough for Jesus to be sinless and surrendered. He had to suffer and die for us before sin could even be destroyed. And he wants us to suffer also. He doesn't want us to, but we are allowed to suffer for him. But he has promised that he would be with us and see us through all things. The law purged with blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission. So he had to shed his blood for each and every one of us to be able to live, to have that life eternal. So we know that the story doesn't end there at the cross. For there's three reasons to celebrate his birth. There would be no reason to celebrate his birth, no reason to come to Christ and to come to church. There would be no salvation and no hope for our souls if this did not happen. But we thank God that the end is not there either. 3 days after Jesus died, he was raised from the dead and returned to his rightful place at the right hand of the living God. Matthew 28, 1 through 6. And he is still alive today. We can praise God for that. Hebrews 7, 25. Since this is true, we know that he is the Lamb of God. And what he can do for each and every one of us today is a lamb. So we pray that we are constantly reading the word so that we can understand what our role is in the plan of redemption. So we see that he has the power to save sinners, which you and I are. We are sinners until we put on that robe of righteousness. Those who are lost through sin can have eternal life. They can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save their souls. He will save our souls, each one of us, if we repent and go to him. There's three basic things that he will do in the heart and life of every sinner who comes to him by faith. Number one, he can cleanse sin. He will cleanse our sins that we have. He has that through his blood, has the power to wash away sins forever. And what a privilege that is to have our sins washed away. To have them no more before us. He can convert souls. We know that the living soul, the living body, is a wicked thing. Jeremiah 17 now. We know that the body is lost. It's undone and cannot have fellowship with God in the present state that we are in. However, when a person truly trusts in Jesus for salvation, Jesus takes that life so far, one that is so far from God, and brings them near to him. Ephesians 2, verses 12 and 13. He can change sinners. When Jesus saves someone, he can also change that person. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's it. We can become new creatures. New creatures in Jesus Christ. And also we know that the story continues after the cross, where the Lamb of God was able to send the Comforter, as he had told the disciples that he would, to take his place. And we read that in John chapter 14. We just stay there, John 14. The Holy Spirit is often called the Paraclete, the Advocate, or the Intercessor. We know that as Christians, we don't quite understand the power and person of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's impossible because he doesn't tell us too much about himself. All we need to know is that he is one of the Godhead, and that he has an important mission here upon this earth. He is always working to make Christ known to us and to our hearts. And he delights when we seek the knowledge about why he has come. John 16, verses 13 and 14. The Comforter, John 14, 18, tells us about that. 4:18. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He gathered his chosen one there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He wanted the last moments of communion with them so they could, before he was translated into heaven, he had some things to tell them. Jesus was their guide, their teacher. He gave them joy, peace, hope, and love. But now he was physically leaving them and going back to the Father. But the disciples wondered who that would guide them now with Jesus gone. Jesus knew what the disciples were going to face. He knows what we are going to face today and in the future. Hardship, destitution, persecution, the loss of all things, the spoiling of their earthly goods, being dragged before magistrates, and even being tortured for his name. I wonder if we thought about that very much. That one day we might be tortured for the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he's coming soon, so it could happen to someone here in this congregation. We pray that it doesn't. But if it does, are you willing to suffer for Jesus? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Without the disciples understanding this, we could probably say that Jesus was saying to them, I will never let you fight your battles alone. I know what you're going through and are to face. But I know the Father's wonderful plan for you. If you knew and understood it, your hearts would rejoice. It is the same for us today. Our hearts can rejoice, for we know what the Father can do for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He promised his disciples that he would pray to the Father for them and that he would give them another Comforter, that he might abide with you forever. And the Lord Jesus Christ is abiding with each one of us forever, now, here, or even upon this earth. To have that salvation now in our lives should be glory to us, and rejoice in that, the knowing that we can be with our Jesus one day soon. So we see that he's going to dwell with us and in you, John 14, 16, and 17. The Holy Spirit, or the Comforter, was sent into the world to the sinner for one purpose, to be a convictor, to be a convincer of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And we can know these things through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can know the mercy of our Lord Jesus. We can also know the judgment, the justice that will be meted out if we are not sons and daughters of the heavenly kingdom. First, he came to convict us of sin. Of sin, because they believed not on me. John 16, 9. The Spirit nevertheless reveals that all sin is based on one foundation, unbelief. started with Adam and Eve in the garden, with that unbelief. And it has come down through the generations. Refers to the unbelief in the power of the blood of the Lamb to save and to deliver us from sin. He also convicts us of righteousness that we may have through the Lord Jesus Christ. If righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, tells us in verse 10. And he looked at the disciples, seems to be saying to them, to be their witnesses to my righteousness. For God would not translate a holy person, an unholy person, to heaven. And that one day we will have that translation, and that we will go with our Savior to heaven, to spend 1,000 years there, and then come down onto this earth and spend eternity ever with our Savior, forever and ever. And then the Holy Spirit also says through the disciples, you called him a devil, a glutton, a wine bibbler, an imposter. But now, how do you answer his being taken with glory to the Father? We know that the Lord Jesus came down here to this earth. He gave up his glory that he had in heaven, covered his divinity with humanity so that he could become man and to show us an example that we could follow the commandments of the living God. I pray that we've done that. He also convicts us of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit testifies to the world that there is now a freedom for all people because Jesus Christ judged and destroyed Satan, took his power away from him at the cross. Even though he still has some of that power now until Jesus comes again, we know it is diminished, and that we can, through the Lord Jesus Christ and the power from God himself, not be tempted to follow him. The Holy Spirit was not sent to us as a passive, weak influence. He was a divine person with a personality. He has a mind and eyes, ears and feelings. He can also be the magnificent builder, have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has a way of simplifying the Word of God, to showing us how that we are to live, to be with the God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. He is the one who teaches us to say, Abba, Father. This phrase refers to a custom in old Bible times regarding the adoption of a child. And until the adoption papers were signed and sealed by the adopting father, that the child saw this man only as father. He had no right to call him Abba, meaning my father. Yet it's some of the papers, as they were signed, they were registered and sealed, the child's tutor presented him to the adopting father. And for the first time, the child could say, Abba, Father. As soon as the father embraced the child, the young one cried out, my father. He's not just a father anymore. He is mine. And we can say that same thing today, that God is our father. We can call him Abba, Father, through the adoption process of Lord Jesus Christ paying the ransom price. We want to see the work of the Holy Spirit in his ministry to present us to the Father. And he keeps reminding us of us that. I have sealed the papers. You are no longer an orphan. You are legally a child of God. Now you have a loving, wealthy, powerful father. Embrace him. Call him my father. I have come to show you how much you're loved by him. He wouldn't have adopted you when you were a wild, sinful, and rebellious child unless he loved and wanted you. 3, his loving mission. The Holy Spirit into the comfort of Christ's bride in the absence of the bridegroom. Jesus. He shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, John 14:16. And we pray that that does happen to each and every one of us every day. But to advocate the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you, 14:26. We know that the comforter means one who soothes in times of pain and guilt, grief, eases pain and sorrow, brings relief, consoles and encourages. This is the role of the Holy Spirit. By calling him the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, Jesus made an infallible prediction. He predicted that his people would suffer discomfort, would be in need of comfort, that they would be a lot of pain and suffering, and that this would embrace his people in these last days. And we know that probably all of us has had this, has discomfort, has pain and suffering in our lives. But we know that we can be comforted by the Holy Spirit. We become comforted with the arms of our Lord Jesus, our physician around us, so that we can say, great is he that is in me than all the world powers combined. For God sent his Spirit in power to keep us out of Satan's clutches. For we know that even though we are Christ, that Satan's still trying to get every one of us. He's working on our souls. He's working on our consciences. But if we don't keep that connected with Jesus, we know that he'll be able to get in and turn us. But we just hope for that Spirit to flow through our lives constantly, and so that we may be a child of God. We hope that happens to us. Yes, for the children of God, us today have the Comforter in our lives to get that peace, give us that ease. Because of the Lamb of God having to go back to heaven to keep things in perspective. As we look at the special day when when God sent his Son to the world to be the sacrifice for each and every one of us, we need to come to Jesus Christ right now so he can mend our broken lives. To accept the Lord Jesus Christ and his eternal salvation that he has for each of us. We need to reconcile our lives to honor and praise him and to serve him. We're to be a servant to God and a servant to man. And I pray that we are. You gave your all to Jesus. Give him your love. He still loves you. And now neither will I let you go. I've been sent by him to do a work, and I will keep doing it. Our true comforter is the Holy Spirit. People run to all sorts of people and things to be able to have comfort. But we know that the world has nothing to offer them, to offer us, because the world knew him not. But we can know the Lord Jesus Christ if we take and look at this book of love and read it every day to see what God gave us, what God lost in giving us the Lord Jesus Christ, but what he gained in having a family that each and every one of us can be. So we know that we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Lamb of God. So we just pray that it's filling out our hearts perfectly so that we can have perfect peace now with our Lord Jesus Christ. Ask for the abiding person of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that each one of us does that.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sabbath day that we have come here, study your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We ask you now, dear Lord, that we separate one from another in our coming in and our going out as we start another week, that we will, that you will watch over each one of us. Our hope, dear Lord, is your coming will be soon. This is the blessed hope. We ask you once more, go with each one of us, and we'll return again. We thank you for the message today from Brother Earl, that you gave him the words on high, and that we can take a lesson from this. We ask all these in Jesus' wonderful and powerful name. Amen.